Welcome to Expanded Universe, Season 8, Episode 5. Just call me Archangel of the Morning, baby. The book, Star Trek, The Next Generation, X-Men, Planet X. Chapters 12 through 14. With your hosts, Jeff and John. The year is definitely 1998. I didn't have to look that up. And let's go.
A person who would stick his dick through a hole in a shower wall has no honor.
That's what I do. I press the button that says cloak.
Such is my distaste for Cyclops.
Anyone sees you fucking this statue, they know you want to fuck.
And welcome back to Expounded Universe with your hosts, Jeff and John. I'm Jeff. That's John. This is the Star Trek X-Men Expanded Universe Novel Discussion Podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And instead
and
of
for the past 45 minutes, it's been the Purge discussion.
I was about to say. But instead, I'm going to ask John, who has recently seen all the Purge movies, tons and tons of penetrating questions about the Purge movies.
Yeah, it's amazing how much they get into and yet how much there is that you don't know.
Yeah. Like, I have all these questions about the logistics of it. Like, how come people aren't just constantly setting everything on fire? Like, why? That's what I mean. Why stand in an alleyway with, like, a bat with a nail in it and a dumb baby mask when you could just be like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to burn down the nearest forest.
I mean, you would think because most of the people who would be near enough to a forest to want to burn it down would also be like, I don't want my forest to be burned down.
I mean, I guess, but there's nothing that stops you from being anywhere else on Purge Night. That's another thing that comes up constantly in my questions is, like, what stops me from being like, Purge Night's coming up in a couple of days. I'll be in Mexico.
I mean, nothing. Although, again, this is in a weird dystopic future.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a little bit in...
Isn't the first one set in 2022?
Yes, but I mean, that came out in 2013.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's like literally the next Aquaman movie is coming out after the first Purge is set.
And it's also an alternate version of that history as well. It's not like it just diverged in 2013.
Okay.
But we get a little bit in the third movie where there's some hints that like most of the rest of the world is kind of fucked up as well.
So Canada must clearly be purging. There's international waters treaties. All I'm going to do on Purge Night is be like, all right, family, it's our annual time when we steal a yacht because that's legal, and then take the yacht 12 miles offshore because that's legal, and now we're in international waters, and there's no purge here.
Yeah, but you got to get to that boat first, and to do that, you got to go through a bunch of dudes in baby masks with nail bats.
I guess. I mean, that's the thing, is I'm just also going to wear a baby mask and carry a nail bat.
And they'll kill you.
No, they won't. They don't kill each other.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay.
There are roving bands that are together, but if they see some other band, they're just going to murder each other.
Can we see that in the movie?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say, the thing I primarily see in the previews is, you know, groups of creeps and then like regular folks who are trying to survive.
Because those are always the main characters that we're following. But they'll see things where they're like, oh, we just got caught in a crossfire between two different groups of idiots.
Yeah. My first thought is always, you have creep immunity if you are also a creep. Like, clearly, if anyone's out on the street, they're probably a creep, which means they'll ignore other creeps and just try to kill poor people that are staying in their houses. Now, the other question I have, John, and this is a big one, civil trials. Like, what stops me from just suing someone the day after Purge for emotional damages?
Probably because it would get thrown out.
Okay. But would it, for sure?
I think it would, actually. At this point, I think they would say that all Purge lawsuits afterward would be considered frivolous.
Okay. Now
also, they made that law during the Purge, so it's legal and no one can stop it.
So if I get into local government, like all I have to do is become like my city alderman or whatever, can I pass laws during Purge Night that are good after Purge Night?
I mean, if you already had the ability to pass laws, because afterwards they're going to check and be like, oh, it's not illegal for you to try and pass this, but your signature isn't good for passing a law, so it doesn't matter.
Okay,
anymore.
So let's say I got elected the mayor of a small town. Like,
if you had executive action ability,
yeah,
where you could say, I can, on my own, normally, sans purge, write a law.
Yeah.
But then that law is subject to, you know, is this legal or not?
Right.
I believe during the purge, you could be like, I made this law, and fuck you.
But it wouldn't matter, because there's no laws anyway during the purge.
Well, yeah. But then after the purge, it would have been made, and then they'd go like, that's illegal. And you go, yeah, but I made it during the purge.
What if the law I made, then. What if I made the law I made during the purge pertained or specifically includes a clause that it was a law during the purge? If I was like,
this only counts during the
this
purge.
This is a special purge law that you that is enforced specifically during the purge.
Oh, I assume there are tons of those, honestly.
There have to be, because otherwise people wouldn't be, you know, nail-batting each other in alleys. They'd be out doing, like, all kinds of white-collar crime.
Well, I mean...
Or pedophile stuff. I mean, that you'd think that'd be, like, the first question. Like, oh, do I have to kill people, or can I just take pictures of 12-year-olds in a warehouse?
Yeah, see, we get sort of... like a side view of some of that.
Okay.
But not focused on.
All right. I'm wondering how much meth can I cook that night, for example. Like, that's got to be legal, right?
Well, if you're Data, Mr. Data can cook plenty of meth. Star Trek X-Men.
Oh, fine.
I don't know how long that digression was, but man, I want to do an entire podcast on the Purge.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I guess I have to be the straight man the whole time and not come up with creative solutions. Fine. Well, we don't open on Data. We open on Paul Arid. Dool and Arid.
Yeah. So Arid wakes up. As you may remember from last time, Arid and Korba, the speedster, have bunked together.
It turns out that she enters relationships at super speed.
Let's move in together, she says very quickly.
So Aaron's like, all right, well, I guess this is nice. I'm waking up with next to Korba, and she's so nice and warm.
Oh, no, and then a voice.
Oh, then Paul Dool pops on his head. Is like, hey, Arid, it's your job to go into town and find some food.
Yeah, we've got some food for you now, but if you want anything after this, you got to be part of the scavenge squad.
You got to go to the scavenge squad. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you some food now. It's going to be these two magic beans, and you're going to need to take those beans into town, Arid.
And find a cow
and trade them for some food.
We've got regular beans. Now, we want you to find a cow and tell someone they're magic beans.
It shouldn't be a problem, because normally this is the way that deal goes down.
Everyone in Jaldia is real stupid, and none of them have heard of Jack and the Beanstalk before, so this is a new grift.
I had completely forgotten the opening of Jack and the Beanstalk and decided to start him off with beans instead of a cow.
Well, no, he gets beans because he's the grifter.
No, I know. But if you had allowed me to spin off and extrapolate upon that story, it would have been like, and then he goes into town and he finds a merchant and is like, I have these two beans. And the merchant was like, I also have beans. Shit.
Aw, I guess everybody's got magic beans around here. That's her deal in this town.
This is really devaluing the bean market.
The bottom really fell out of the bean market here.
Here in Devere or whatever this town is.
Verdeen. So yeah, he doesn't really have a whole lot of time to enjoy the fact that he gets to wake up next to Korba, but he has to go out and do some stuff.
He's going to go do a little scavenging, but before he gets a chance to go out and do his stuff, Korba wakes up and is like, hey, I like that. Would you like to make it a permanent arrangement?
Hey, that's great. You want to move in together?
Micro machines.
I've already got all my stuff in here. I've met your parents. They're lovely.
We got married 3 minutes ago.
And that's Korba.
That's Korba. She's a speedster. Yeah. By the way, you can't have a wedding ring because I need all the rings. I got to go fast. Fast, fast, fast.
I got to
go fast.
Then we go to Data.
Yeah, Data is walking down a hallway when he hears... I believe it's in 10 forward.
Yeah, he goes into the lounge.
Yeah.
And that's where Banshee is singing some old-timey Irish melodies.
Yep, he's singing a lilting Irish melody, and it's so beautiful, and he's such a good singer. And Data and there's a couple of ensigns there who are watching and being part of this whole
thing. Yeah, I mean, we get Sovar and Robinson, our... Zaldian and his transporter room friend.
Yeah, and I believe Ensign Saffron is also there, who is probably just some sort of human.
Some kind of human. Or and Guinan.
Guinan's all... Well, it's 10 forward, of course. Yeah. I mean, well, actually, wait. It's weird that Guinan's here, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
It's very unusual, given that Guinan left the show sometime around season 6, and this is set after First Contact.
Exactly. Mm. So, they're... Just like with Worf, we do have to get... Guinan essentially thinking to herself the reason that she is here.
Yeah, no, she's like, oh, I guess I'm back. Now, Guinan apparently, this is going to come up later. Guinan gets her own whole chapter, but she is here.
Yeah.
So, Data walks in on this spectacle of Banshee probably in his dumb outfit. I mean, he's just sitting there in one of the 10 forward lounge chairs with, like, armpit capes draped artlessly across the floor adjacent to him.
Yeah, I mean, it It's funny, but also probably true, considering every time they talk about any of the X-Men, they mention that they are in their getup.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're saying Wolverine's in his blue and yellow, and that Archangel is in his white and red. And you're like, oh, I guess you did pop up here without any clothes.
I was going to say, it's not like they had backpacks.
I mean, you could just walk up to a, like, replicator and go like, computer, jeans, for a short Canadian.
And they'd be like, ah, denim. No, we can't do that. You're going to get an ill-fitting tight onesie. Well, I guess that is what I wear all the time.
Computer, Canadian tuxedo.
Ah, very good. They'll call this the Riker outfit. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. He's from Alaska.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, it's close enough.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they wear Canadian tuxedos in Alaska.
Yeah.
So, okay. The Data decides to join in on the festivities of the singing.
Well, yeah, because they're like, oh, that was great, fucking Banshee, and I don't know your real name, but do you have Banshee's anything else?
I don't know Banshee's real name.
Banshee's real name is Stereotype.
I'm just realizing I know very little about Banshee.
Yeah, Banshee, man, he doesn't get a lot of business, which is sad because he was actually like one of the main teachers for Generation X and like the New Mutant stuff. Like him and White Queen were the two main heads of that school, and you don't find out dick about shit.
Well, of course not, because both of those, it was like, oh, well, who's in charge? Well, we've got Banshee and we've got White Queen. So obviously, whenever we're talking about leadership, it's really just going to be a shot up White Queen's ass. We're just gonna get an artist to draw an upskirt shot of her wearing a bathing suit, and that'll be that.
But yeah, they're all like, oh, Mr. Banshee, we loved your singing. Do you have anything else for us? And he's got to be like, oh, saints and begorra, the Irish isn't with me. The wee leprechauns haven't give me enough melodies for you. Why, I'm plumb out. Does anyone have lucky charms?
It's kind of funny how all the X-Men are actually like this. Like, every one of them pretty much just, you know, da, Soviet Russia, yeah, niet, turn into iron to stop tractor. But this one somehow is the most irritating.
Yeah, because the other ones at least only say, like, oh, and sounding like whatever, they say this, and then it's just regular type, whereas Banshee's is written out to make you have to read it in that sort
of voice. I guess
that's
true. It's in I dialect. And honestly, some of the more annoying X-Men aren't here. Like, we ain't got Remy.
No.
So we don't have
to. We haven't gone full hardcore into the like accent pool.
Yeah. Rogue's not here either. So there's not a lot of A-H written down for I in the book. So that's that.
Aw, sugar.
Yeah. God. So I guess that's a saving grace. Anyway, Data's like, well, I know a particularly interesting Irish ditty that I will begin to sing now.
Yes. Here's my Irish song. And then he starts singing in a voice that isn't his,
because
he's just like, I'm a robot, fuck you, I'll sing as good as I want to.
He did that on the show a couple of times.
So he starts doing that, and part of the way through, Banshee's like, oh shit, no, I know this one, and joins in.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, you have a fighting brogue, and you know, it's just talking to him, and he's like, where did you learn that? How come you know any songs at all? And Data's response, weirdly, isn't, oh, well, my entire head's a fucking positronic database.
I'm a ridiculous computer with so many songs in it.
I know every single song there's ever been. I'm basically iTunes.
But instead, he's like, oh, there was someone on the colony where I was made called Brian McGonaghy, and he loved that song for some reason.
Mostly it's just so we can explain Data's origin story for some reason.
Yeah, they're like, we got to explain that Data was on a planet when some energy monster,
the crystalline entity,
some energy monster,
when some the crystalline entity,
it's an energy it's Star Trek, it's one of the energy monsters,
it's
one of the many energy monsters.
It's not a fucking cloud, it's a snowflake looking thing.
Yeah, it's still an energy monster.
Fine, it's just the only one I know the name of, and I'm proud of that. So anyway, the crystalline entity wiped out his planet. And by the way, that also explains why he's singing in this Brian McGonaghy's voice, because there's one single episode of Next Gen about how, for some reason, Data came fully preloaded with the memories, voices, and experiences of everyone in the city he grew up in.
Yeah, apparently it was so this would help him get emotions because they're like, oh, if we give you all the memories and likes and dislikes and all of this stuff from all of these people, then you'll just be able to extrapolate emotions from a theoretical database.
I mean, theoretically, but all it ends up doing in the show is enabling him to freak out the mom of a kid who died there.
Yeah.
But here, no, it's just, oh, I'm fine. There was one of them super stereotypical Irish dudes in the colony as well, and he taught me this Irish song.
Yeah. And, you know, as soon as Banshee hears that the crystalline entity destroyed his entire fucking colony, he's like, oh, lad, I'm so sorry to hear that. Why don't we have a pint?
Yeah. And Data's like, well, why don't you tell me why your name is Banshee? That is the wail of a dead woman. That's a bad name.
It warns of approaching death. Why would you, such a lovely and normal person, have a name like that?
You'd think your name would be Lucky Charms.
Or just Lucky, the leprechaun.
We'd give you a traditional Irish superhero name, like soap commercial. He's like, ah, well, that's just because you haven't heard me in battle.
Yes, you haven't heard me sing in battle. Oh, but if you had, you wouldn't ask me that question, lad.
Because I sing like a dangerous dying woman.
Oh, well, that's not a dying woman. It's a woman spirit that says that you're going to die.
Okay, fine. The portent of death.
Yes. Yes.
Also, what's your real name, by the way, Banshee? I mean, I'm sure John knows. Oh. I, a Jeff, do not know.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm willing to admit right now, without going to look on my phone and try and figure it out while I waste time, that I do not know at all what his name is.
There are so many less relevant X-Men that I know the full name of.
Right? I'm like, oh, man, I could tell you the names of so many random-ass characters from X-Men and not Banshee.
Yeah. Like, you probably know Chambers' name off the top of your head.
Hold on, I'm looking up Banshee's name.
Okay, fine, you do that. I'll just carry along with what's going on in the story. I believe we get a little bit more from Sovar is it Rogers or Robertson who's his friend?
It is Robertson? Robert Paulson.
Robert Sinclair Paulson Sinson.
Oh, wait, this is Troy. This is Troy's business.
Oh, are we giving someone's business to Troy?
Yeah, Troy and Archangel.
I was going to say, well, Troy and Archangel comes up next.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, fine. So the next thing that happens is that Troy is sitting around, I believe also in the lounge, when Archangel comes in. And Archangel, by the way, has continued to just fly everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Even though he's on a spaceship with limited hallway space.
Yeah, he's still just mostly an asshole.
Now, I think we've established in the past that Archangel's got like a 30 to 40 foot wingspan to keep a human aloft.
Yeah, and yet.
Can we just establish it? Go ahead.
It's Sean Cassidy.
Oh, shoot. How could I forget such a stolen from a celebrity type name?
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Davy Jones.
He's just named after a famous Irish. It's Darby O'Gill. It's you two.
It's Cher. His real name is Cher.
Well, she's not Irish. She's half Native American. Cher. I guess the other half is Irish.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. So Troy is also hanging around in the lounge when Archangel comes flying in. And we get a comprehensive description of the fact that he has white feathered wings instead of the metal ones. Now there's no more question. But he is, in fact, still blue. Gorgeously blue. A different blue, indeed, than the blue of a Tholian or a... No, not Tholian.
Andorian.
Andorian or a Bullion. I put Tholian in there, even though those are those energy spiders that make the super webs. Yeah. Archangel's just sort of generically being a dick. I don't really... You go ahead. You've got the book in front of you.
Yeah, no, Archangel is... Like, he whooshes in and scares a bunch of crewmen and, like, lands somewhere and basically does, like... the standard Christ pose as he just like floats to the ground, arms and wings spread.
Yeah.
And of course, Troy's just like, wow, what a dick show off. Fuck this guy.
Yeah. For some reason, she's not into it. When normally Troy's response to any sexy dude on a ship doing even anything is just to go, ooh, a chance to date someone briefly and then watch them die.
Yeah, nope. But instead, Archangel's like, oh, I see that the counselor disapproves of me. And so he's going to walk over there and be like, hey, why aren't you offering me a seat, counselor? I'm a fucking asshole.
Yeah, and she doesn't just respond with like, I don't know, because it's a big empty restaurant.
But no, she's like, All right, Archangel, would you like a seat? Oh, I thought you'd never ask.
Yeah.
And then he spins it around and sits down on it and spins his baseball cap around.
It's time to get real. How does he reach these Betazoids?
But yeah, I mean, at least when he spins the chair around, you're like, oh, it's not just because you're a douche. It's because you have wings.
Yeah, it's because of the wings. Although I'm pretty sure that Archangel could just lift his wings up and around the back of a chair. Maybe these are weirdly high back chairs.
Maybe. I mean, we've seen the chairs in 10 Forward.
Yeah. Well, no, we I don't know that we've seen these chairs.
The new chairs.
I was going to say, this is the Enterprise E.
E.
It's a completely different ship, and I've got a lot to say about that. So yeah, he spins the chair around and sits down so he can get real, which on the one hand, I feel like, yeah, that's because probably the wings for comfort. On the other hand, maybe it's to show off that it's about the wings for comfort, to be like, yeah, because I have wings. I have to sit like this. I prefer to talk while flying constantly in circles.
Yeah, he's just being a huge asshole.
It's a weird thing. I guess that's just Warren in general.
And even with the conversation with Troy, he's just like, yeah, fucking Dr. Crusher had a whole chamber of horrors for me, and LaForge gave me once over, and I hate everyone here.
Yeah, I don't like it on this dumb ship, and they didn't find out anything important about why we're stuck here.
Anyway, you're rich, right?
Yeah, that's weird. He's just like, I can kind of tell you're rich. And she has to be like, well, I am from the fifth circle of regents or whatever on Betazoid.
He's like, I guess I would be considered fairly high importance, but, you know, we don't really have money because this is the Federation and we're past that point.
Yeah, we're a post-capitalism society. So basically, I'm rich in the sense of I have a lot of swooshy, irritating matchmaker mom.
Yeah, I have a lot of it.
I have a lot of that. I'm rich in Luxana irritations. but no, she's like, yeah, I guess technically I'm part royalty or something. So I'm a little more vaguely important, like culturally than
say a random other person on Betazoid would be.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, well fuck you, that's what the rich always say, that it's just a responsibility more than a privilege, and I bet you never think about how privileged you are. And I'm like, my dude, why are you starting a fight over privilege in 10 Forward?
That seems to be his game. He's like, yeah, I can always tell. The rich can tell other rich people. I grew up silver spoon in my mouth myself. I spent my summers in one place, my winters in another. I never wanted for anything.
Not for old Warren Worthington the Thord.
She's like, I don't like this guy.
ugh, this guy.
Anyway, I don't recognize the places you're listing. And to be fair, I recognized one of them. Was it Summers on the Riviera and Winters in Chamonix?
Yeah, Chamonix.
Chamonix, which I believe is a Swiss chalet of some sort, or chalet town.
I don't know.
So it turns out that he gets to go to rich people places. Well, he did, up until he grew them damn wings at the age of 9.
Yeah. So what made you decide to be a hero then if you were living the life of luxury?
And he's like, well, it's these wings of mine.
I can't just lounge on St. Bart's with these coming out the back of me. She's like, yeah, but you could also just not be a hero.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, so you mean why did I decide to join the
side of the angels?
Well, you see, I always really wanted to meet a different hero. I wanted to meet Joe Black. Okay, yeah, you're just doing hero stuff, angel stuff now, aren't you?
Just angel stuff.
What's your favorite U2 song? Mine's Angel of Harlem. Okay, stop. No, I get it. You like angel stuff.
Yeah, also, I know I told you my name is Warren Worthington, but just call me Angel of the Morning. Angel.
Call me by my full name, please. Angel Angelton the Third. Ark.
The Archangel Angelton.
You've heard of me.
But yeah, we get a whole lot of Troy-sensed bitterness and a growing resentment in him, and she assumed it was for himself.
Yeah, she noted that he hates himself in a way that he has resigned himself to do. Yeah. Also, he mentions that while everyone else who's in the group is a mutant, he's a mutant with a little something extra. And I was like, hey, fuck you, buddy. I feel like most of them are mutants with a little something extra. Like, Wolverine is definitely a mutant with a little... Well, actually, he's not right now.
Not at the moment.
Not the moment. But in the past, he definitely has been.
Yeah, but not now.
Not now. Maybe Storm is not currently either. I think she usually technically has some, like, actual god stuff mixed into her storyline. Are we pretending that doesn't count right now?
Yeah.
Also, Shadowcat's here, and she has a dragon for a pet. and we're just not going to talk about that.
Yeah, but it's not here.
Where is
Plus, Lockie? It's not part of her.
I know, it's not. But it's always been the weirdest thing to me that she's like, what are you? Oh, I'm the audience surrogate character. I'm a young, upstart Jewish girl from the Bronx who doesn't know what's going on. And I've got a purple talking dragon.
And then it gets into a real fucking Harry Potter situation where that dragon is actually just a shape-changing dude.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten all that shit happens.
Yeah.
I'm used to him just being a fat little pointless thing that they put into the shots. Like
just like me.
Just, well, you're big. like wide shots just to be like, look, this thing from continuity, remember?
Hey, remember? We haven't forgotten Lockheed exists. Anyway.
Yeah. That's how they usually get Howard the Duck into Marvel Comics as well. Wide shot, lots of heroes, Howard over in the corner.
Yep.
Yeah, I was in these. Remember the 70s?
Yeah, you remember when I was a thing briefly, very, very briefly?
And now again?
Well, here I am.
Have you heard that? I don't know if it's still happening now because they've changed leadership so much at the Marvel TV thing, but for a while at Hulu there was a plan for 4 different Marvel cartoon shows. One of them was going to be Tigra, one of them was going to be Howard, there was going to be a Squirrel Girl and a MODOK.
Wow.
They were each going to get their own show, and then there was going to be a combination show called The Offenders.
Wow.
I don't know if it's going to still happen now that there's no Defenders to be mocking.
Yeah, well.
And also,
I mean, they have said that they're probably going to just straight up make new versions of, like, Daredevil and Luke Cage and all that shit in
2021 when the license expires.
Yeah, so they're just going to be like, oh, fuck it, we'll just move it over to the MCU eventually.
Yes, and my guess is that by the time that actually happens when the TV licenses expire, they'll be looking at all 4 of them for potential movie heroes instead. Because the whole thing where they were like, oh, yeah, this is perfect. We can finally put Daredevil somewhere because he couldn't carry a movie since the one he carried. So we just need to relegate him to safety in the television, you know, sphere. But now they're like, oh, but there's a Shang-Chi movie. So all bets are off. Put whoever you want in a movie.
Yeah, as soon as we realize that anything could be fine and make money, they're like, ah, shit, that's one of our bigger names, and we just stuck him on a show.
Luke Cage can't carry a movie. Let's put him on a TV show and do the Eternals. Anyhow.
So after that, we go to Chapter 13 and Guinan.
Guinan is unhappy a little bit because she was used to the Enterprise D. And who can blame her? The Enterprise D was full on twice the size, like in terms of displacement, of the Enterprise E, which is pretty much a sleek down warship.
Yeah, because before, it was all just like,
a cruise liner.
What's on here? Oh, there's like a billion different fucking families and kids and people that don't have anything to do with anything.
The average general, in terms of like how many people were on the Enterprise from day to day, was like 1,400.
Yeah.
And it could easily carry, for emergency purposes like evacuations and stuff, it could carry 15,000 people.
Yeah.
It was a cruise liner compared to every other ship that's ever been involved in the Enterprise stories, non-alternate universe. The Kelvin universe, for some reason, the Enterprise with Kirk on it is, like, bigger than the Galaxy class.
Nah.
Whatever. But the Enterprise that was this Galaxy class nonsense, it's fucking enormous. It's got a yoga studio. Now, the E, on the other hand, is half as many decks as the D, and there's no one on it but, like, Starfleet personnel.
Yeah, I mean, before, we had the huge D. But now, it doesn't really measure up.
Yeah, now we've just got to deal with
it. It shrunk, really.
Yeah, and now you have to deal with nothing but the sheer tactile pleasure of E.
So Guinan is behind the counter, even though she technically doesn't work on the ship. She was like, oh, I'm hitching a ride somewhere, and I insisted that I get to be a bartender.
Yeah, I wanted to be a bartender while I was here, but this isn't my 10 forward.
Yeah.
And also, no one cool comes through here. It's no one but officers, and for some reason, X-Men.
Yeah, because, you know, we don't have thousands of people on here that are just random dudes.
Yeah, and there's not constantly an ambassador on here, because Picard tries to take every ambassador assignment.
Yeah. No. Now it's just like, yeah, this is where fucking Starfleet people show up to get a drink and then leave.
Yeah, this isn't fun for me at all. This place used to be crawling with ambassadors who were shocked that you'd intimate that they were involved in whatever shenanigans are happening.
That they were involved in whatever they were doing.
And then their wives who were coming through as well and being like, please be nice to him. He's a very busy man. Anyway, so she's there polishing the reflective surface of the bar when who should walk in but Wolverine.
The Wolverine.
Wolverine looks pretty happy with himself. He's in his blue and yellows. He looks pretty tired, but he plunks himself down at the bar and is like, hey, you look like the person I talk to if I want some service.
How about some service, darling?
Darling? Can I smoke cigars in here? Hang on, don't answer that until I finish smoking this cigar.
I just enjoy that he's randomly kind of an asshole as well.
Yeah, he's
normally when he goes someplace, he's like, hey, can I get a drink? But now he's just like, hey, darling, nice tits.
Aren't you Whoopi Goldberg? I loved you in Sister Act 2.
Not the first one, though.
No, back in the habit. That was when it got good. Okay, so... So she's like,
just like, oh, you want a drink?
You want a drink, you savage brute of a Canadian?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Can I get a drink?
Okay.
You got any Timbits?
I'll just take a Timbit and some Molson Ice. Thank you.
But no, she's like, all right, here we go. I'll give you the strongest thing we got. And he just takes it, drinks it, and is like, you call this a drink? I want a stronger drink.
I want whatever that wharf guy drinks. He's the greatest.
I'm definitely not in love with him, though.
I just want to feel his power in my biceps.
I just want him to wrap me up in those arms.
I want him to crush me to death, and then I regenerate out of it. Yeah. Anyway.
I want to lick his forehead ridge.
I just want to get lost in those cranial ridges. Ooh.
So yeah,
but you know, I fully respect his definitely a big deal marriage.
So she's like, oh, you want a warrior's drink then?
Mm-hmm.
And then we get this whole business of her.
This goes on for most of this chapter.
Being like, I don't know if you could handle the stuff Worf drinks.
I'm pretty sure I can handle it, dollface.
You see, I got this here healing factor, and let me explain what I'm Wolverine. Hi, I'm Wolverine. I have a healing factor, bone claws right now, normally metal, not right now. Anyway, X-Man, you get the deal. So, drink?
Can I please have that super strong drink? And she's like, fine. But Worf drinks Jepson's Malort.
Oh, no. This tastes like I'm sucking off a haunted tree.
I just like the idea that, because all she actually does is give him what Worf usually drinks, right? Fucking
prune juice.
But how great would it have been if she was like, oh, you want Worf's drink? And she just like handed him a shot glass with poop in it.
Yeah. Just Worf drinks this.
Worf drinks this.
Huh? You want it?
Huh?
You want it, you little bitch?
This looks like a glass of Odo. I'm watching you, Wolverine.
Yes, I was the prune juice.
I want to be inside you, Wolverine. So, yeah. He drinks.
And that is a reference, by the way, when she says, oh, a warrior's drink. That is something that Worf continually calls prune juice is a warrior's drink.
No, I know. To bother all of the other Klingons who were always like, yes, join me for a cask of blood wine. And he's like, no, I prefer a warrior's drink. And then he drinks prune juice. And they're like, ha-ha, you are regular. Your poops are normal human in size.
You are definitely able to poop. I, however, cannot. I have not in days.
I have the inflamed, painful poops of a targ.
Now, give me some targ milk.
You have the weak poops of the House of Moog.
So, yeah. She, you know, needles him a little bit and is like, are you going to drink it? You little baby?
I mean,
your baby going to cry?
It's just fucking juice. And the whole thing where he's like, I guess I'm drinking this juice.
I live by my word.
And then he drinks the juice. Have you had prune juice, John?
I have not.
You know what? It's just juice. It's not anything. It's not disgusting. It's not fancy. It's just some juice.
Just some goddamn juice.
So this whole thing where to his credit, he picked up the mug and drank all the juice. And it's like, this isn't some amazing thing.
He picked up the Capri Sun and drank all the juice.
Yeah, he drank all that juice. And get this, he put the straw in the bottom of the Capri Sun instead of in the little fake hole. That's a life hack that Wolverine knows.
I do enjoy that he's like, that hit the spot. Oh, it sure will. You're going to poop.
You're going to have regular poops. Oh, no. Normally I scatter my spore in the woods.
Which I gotta wonder, if he's already got a healing factor, you assume he has normal poops anyway.
Yeah, he constantly
because nothing's gonna make him not have regular
poops.
Yeah,
what would cause? Well, I don't know. Do you think Wolverine has worse poops than normal people because his healing factor is constantly fighting off his gut flora? This is the question I have about Wolverine, John.
These are questions that we need answered.
Yeah.
Check out our bonus content, patreon.com/systemmastery, where we'll finally find out, is Wolverine's healing factor making him poop bad?
Making him poop or better. It could go either way.
Find out, patreon.com/systemmastery. Support us at the $2 level.
Special warning, there's no way that anywhere we go we'll have the answer to that question.
Special warning, nah.
He poops fine. Don't worry about it. And prune juice won't make a difference. And he leaves, and there you go.
Yeah, and then she's like, oh, it sort of feels like home, even if it's not my 10 forward, because I just got to bust on some idiot.
Oh, this reminds me of the olden days when I would bust on some idiot, and it was usually LaForge.
And then I'd be like, dumbass, and then I'd go back to making drinks.
Yeah. All right, John, I forgot what happens next, so you're in charge.
So next we go over to Chancellor Amon. We're back on Zaldia, and he's just sort of getting news about the escape from the fortress.
Yes, yeah. It turns out that Osan and his flunkies have failed to maintain a hold over the transformed.
Yeah, so he's talking with Tallet, his defense advisor guy that we had seen before.
Yeah, he's talking to his master, the almighty Tallest.
He's really talking to the Tallet, you know, the porcelain god.
That's right.
That rules over him, the Tallet.
He's having a serious conversation with that Tallet.
Oh man, he's really yelling into that Tallet. Anyway, so yeah, he gets informed that, like, yeah, all the transformed have escaped. Thankfully, one of the guards actually managed to get out and send a message. Otherwise, it probably would have been days before we found out anything.
Right. And Amon's just like, oh, God, I don't even want to deal with this.
What the fuck are we going to do now?
As far as I was concerned, this whole thing was over already. We had rounded them up and we had put them in a place.
Yeah. And that's it. That was all we were going to do.
That's government for you. Black site extraction done.
Yeah. So they're like, all right. We haven't got any reports of stolen vehicles anywhere nearby, so they have to be within walking distance of Verdeen, possibly in the city.
Some of them probably within teleporting and burrowing distance, and others within super speed distance.
Some of them in flying distance, I assume.
Probably. I mean, I don't remember that there was a flying one that got mentioned.
I don't know.
Because it was a big deal that the big one could get up onto the parapets.
Oh, there was someone with wings, though.
Okay.
We do have the insect wing person.
Oh, that's right. We have a translucent bug skeleton person.
But, yeah. So, they're just trying to figure out what the fuck they're going to do. And at this point, they're like, all right, well, do whatever you got to. Tallet, fucking, I don't care. Do martial law or something. I don't give a fuck.
Tallet, do some martial arts.
Tallet, go out and do some sweet martial art moves.
Do some sweet kicks. Go do American Ninja, Tallet. That'll show him.
And indeed he did.
And that's the story of American Ninja.
So, yeah, he just decides, all right, take as many dudes as you want. Go fucking find these people and round them up again. But please don't murder them.
Let's
consider them dangerous.
Let's not have any kills. Let's save the killing blows. Just catch them.
Yeah. So,
and then what happens?
And then we go over to Picard, who is on his way to see Dr. Crusher, because she's finished up with all the examinations, and LaForge has also finished up his readings and everything, so he's going to go get apprised of the situation.
Yes, he is making his way down there, because if there's one thing we learn about the Enterprise, it's that you walk places.
Hell yeah.
You don't make phone calls or anything.
No.
Even though you've got phones pinned to your chest.
Yeah, like it doesn't matter if you can instantly communicate with anyone on the ship in multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely going to walk
you
over
gotta
there.
You got to walk down there. It's
you got to have that face-to-face
and
time.
And it adds tension, because they could be like, Captain Picard, please report to sick bay. And he'll be like, well, can you just tell me what's going on? No, go on a long, agonizing elevator ride first, please.
I've got you have a little video communicator thing there. I have one here. We can still look each other in the face. You can show me whatever's down there. Mm. Why do I need to walk?
Yes, I'll have you sent to my ready room while I'm walking down there.
But I bought you this comb when I sold my watch.
But I don't have any hair.
Ah, no. The gift of the idiot.
I only have hair in the pilot and in flashbacks.
I thought you were going to say, I only have hair in the pilot and, you know, down there. Thanks for the comb.
It's a veritable forest. A Tarkanian forest.
But who should he run into in the hall but Storm? And he's all like, ooh, hey, baby. How you doing?
He gets all flustery. He's like, ah, hello, Storm. Oh, no, she prefers to be called Aurora.
Oh, Aurora. How are you?
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I'm fine. Why are we still having this conversation? I'm done with you. We're done.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to go find some information. And oh, whoosh. Away goes fucking Archangel spinning by.
Archangel just flying randomly down the hallways again.
And finally, Picard's just like, hey, fucking cut that shit out.
Yeah, knock it off. Land now.
You stop it. Come over here.
Yeah.
And you walk over here. Mm-hmm. This is the Enterprise. We walk, mister.
And if you don't have what it takes to walk around the Enterprise, then you don't deserve to wear that uniform. I'm not wearing a Starfleet uniform. I've beamed one onto you.
No, that uniform.
Take it off. Let's see your Dr. Manhattan-y dork.
Oh, it's got little wings. So he does indeed. He stops at the end of the hallway and walks over, and he's like, what up? You asked to see me, you bitch? Because Archangel is just the hugest asshole in the world.
The weird thing here is that Picard's response isn't just like, hey, it would be great if, you know, ambassadorial. Like, he'd just be like, hey, it'd be great if you could walk instead of flying everywhere. It's driving me nuts. Instead, he's treating Archangel like a kid.
Yeah.
He's very weird.
Your antics have been intolerable since you've been on this ship, and I will not have it.
You'd think at one point he would have been like, well, okay, this is the first strike right now. There hasn't been a point up till now where he's been like, Archangel, please stop flying everywhere at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. No one has told him that. They've just been like, and then not said anything.
Yeah. But instead he's like, yes, this shall stop at once or I'll spank your bottom.
And he turns to Storm and is like, is he serious? And he's like, look, you are talking to me, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Look me in the eye. Look at me. I am the captain now and always.
And I have been for several years.
He was like, I don't care if you like using your powers. Fucking Shadowcat and Nightcrawler aren't using their powers. I don't see Nightcrawler bamfing around floor to floor.
I mean, as far as Picard knows, it's a big ship.
Yeah, but he's heard.
Oh, okay, good. So no one's been reporting brimstone everywhere. Or Shadowcat's the worst. Shadowcat could be in the Jeffries tubes, for all you know. Once you get a Shadowcat on your ship, there's just nowhere to know where she is.
Oh, yeah. You got to start laying traps, but who knows if that's going to work.
Yeah, no, because she might just phase right through them. Oh, yeah. It's especially if you get one of them northern reticulated Shadowcats.
I got a Madagascar hissing shadow cat.
Once you get one of those in there, they start laying down breeding patches everywhere, and pretty soon you got an infestation.
But yeah, he's like, oh, well, I can't stop flying, my dude. I got wings. Those two don't have wings. I got wings. You see these wings? I got them. And I got to fly, man. I got to do it. I got to be free to be me.
I guess you make a very good point.
But that's what holodecks are for.
Yeah.
And he's like, the fuck is a holodeck?
It's weird he was like, holodeck? Are we taking him seriously right now? Which I guess would be like, because they would know what it is. It's the danger room.
Yeah.
Although sometimes the danger room is just a bunch of robot arms. And sometimes it's a holodeck.
Yeah, sometimes it's just a gun comes out and some blades and whatever.
Sometimes it's just monkey bars with a bunch of saws.
And other times it's like, oh, we've generated a hard light sentinel for you to fight.
Uh-huh.
Also, the size of the danger room tends to change between, like, this is a gym and this is a giant stadium.
I mean, that's a problem you run into with the holodeck as well, when you turn the lights off and it's just like a 10 by 10 by 10 foot square.
Yeah.
But that'd be kind of neat to see someone flying around in there. I'd be into that.
Well, I've always sort of wondered, like, how quickly do you got to move for you to fuck up and just, like, run into the wall?
Can you fool the holodeck and just, like...
Can you, like, juke the holodeck? You're like, I'm running this way. Oh, no, I'm not.
Thunk. Oh, that was a bad idea.
I don't know why I wanted to slam my head into a wall, but well, I did it.
The thing I always wonder is those episodes where they have the holodeck and someone goes, arch, and, like the door opens.
Yeah.
Can you walk around the door? Or does the door now define an edge of the space you're in? Like if you walk up to the arch and then take three steps to the left and keep going, do you bonk into the invisible wall adjacent to the arch?
Huh. I mean, I would assume that what happens...
And also, on Purge Night...
when it's Purge Night, and I'm in the holodeck...
Are there still crimes? Can I kill Moriarty?
Am I allowed to shove Moriarty out of the zone so that he dissolves?
So anyway, yeah, Angel leaves, but he leaves with his tail tucked between his legs. Yeah,
Aurora's like, look, you'll do what he says. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah, basically. And he's like, oh, but I gotta fly. I never get to do what Archangel wants.
Who's got to eat where Wolverine wants to eat? I never get to pick the restaurant.
We are always eating at a Tim Hortons.
And then Storm's like, hey, don't you think you were a little harsh on him?
Oh, yeah. To Picard about Archangel. And he's like, no, fuck you. I don't want a fucking bullet flying around my ship all the time.
That's going to get someone killed. And she's like, well, if you just understood him, you see, he's pushing boundaries. You treated him like a little child, and now I'm going to explain that he actually is a child trying to test boundaries.
Let's see how well that worked out for the last child on my ship.
I guess he became a godlike being and travels around the universe now?
I sold him off to a teleporting creep.
I didn't even sell him. I just gave him.
I made it. It made him think it was his idea.
Yeah. So he's like, I guess, you know, he wants to fly around. He's like, oh no, he's flying because he wants to push the envelope. He wants to see if this society of yours that's so advanced and so utopic will actually accept someone like him, a mutant.
No, not if he keeps doing dangerous shit in the hallways.
Yeah, they would accept him fine. There's a shitload of weird aliens and no one gives a fuck. However, if you fly around and act like a dickbag to everyone, no, they won't accept you.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a mutant problem.
Yeah, that's a Warren problem, okay?
Who's the most dangerous one of the mutants that we have here to be on the starship? Is it Storm? I feel like it's probably Storm.
I would say Storm, but also I would give a very good nod to Shadowcat.
I was going to say, based on her
partial
phasing.
She electricity when she walks through things. So she could just, like, walk through the core or whatever.
Yeah, just walk through the warp core, just fuck up the ship.
Yeah.
Like... So, Archangel's not even close. He just can cause property... No,
he can just knock people down and
hurt
give
folks.
People bloody noses and shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, he should be like, yeah, no, I understand completely, but you should have him knock it off, because I don't care if he's a blue guy or not. I just don't want him cannonading into people.
Yeah, he's like, oh, but he doesn't trust your word that things are good, so he's just waiting for someone to... Put him in his place, I guess, so that he knows what the limits are. I'm like, yeah, the limits are don't be an asshole. That's the limit.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. If you had brought Juggernaut instead of him, should I tell him to quit cannoning through the hallways?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that Aurora's like, look, we come from a time where basically anyone who isn't one of us wants to murder us, and going to a place where we are told that everyone will accept us and everything from our timeline isn't accurate here. He's like, is it though?
Yeah. Also, why are we being so coddling of Warren? He's a founding fucking X-Man.
Yeah.
He's the one who should have the most responsibility here.
Oh, yeah. He has been there since the start. He should be like, oh, look, I should be the one to be, like, the ambassador. I know how this works. I've been around the block. I have flown around it multiple times.
He's the only founding X-Man who's here.
Yeah.
I expect better.
I'm disappointed. I'm not angry, Archangel. I'm just disappointed.
I don't know when Shadowcat shows up, but all of the other ones are from the all new X-Men.
Yeah, they're the all new, all different.
Yeah.
And then Shadowcat shows up later than that, I want to say. Anyway.
Anywho's.
At that point, we get a Priority One communication from Admiral Kashiwada for Picard.
Yeah, and Kashiwada, if you remember, I believe is from Starbase 88 again.
Yeah, so
more Starbase 88 nonsense.
The Admiral's like, hey, Priority One, and so Captain's just like, all right, well, pleasure speaking with you. We'll talk more about why your dude with wings is a huge dickbag because he doesn't like that he's in a utopic society later. First, I got to take a call.
But seriously, though, the holodeck.
But seriously, though, just get him in the holodeck. If he needs to flap his wings, he can do it there. Or maybe he can just get some of that aggression out.
Look, go to Picard Holodeck Beta 3. It's just a big jungle. You can fly around there all he wants. Just don't go to anything Riker or Barclay.
If you see any of the programs that have been marked by those two, ooh, don't. Just, you're going to have a bad time.
Well, welcome to Barclay 01. Today you'll be wooing an Elizabethan version of Troy. I don't want to do this.
No, thank you. Anyway, that's the end of the chapters.
That's the chapters. That's the story. Nothing happened.
I feel like we're halfway through the book, and the pacing is...
abysmal.
Like, I want to compare it to the pacing that you would get in an episode,
mm-hmm.
and it is not on target. Like,
no.
We have, at this point, they don't even, like, the Enterprise doesn't even know anything is happening on Jaldea. Like, the main plot of this story hasn't even reached our main characters.
No, we've just been doodling around with the X-Men on the Enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, at least when in the Star Wars books, they were like, oh, yeah, we're farting around the galaxy for a while. At least they ostensibly knew what the plot was and were moving towards it just at a snail's pace.
Yeah, everyone, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Like, say, for example, if we were doing Planet of Twilight, this is right on target for Planet of Twilight.
Yeah.
We're still dorking around on the planet. No one's ever even heard the term SETI Ashgad. But I mean, this thing had good promise when it started, because it opened with a perfect example of a TNG era pre-credit sequence.
Yes.
A mystery begins on a random planet somewhere.
And now it's up to our space heroes to figure it out.
Dun, ta, 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 ta. Right? I mean, that's just, it was fine.
Da, 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 na, na, na.
Da, na, na, na. Yeah, but instead, none of that, and we've just been...
just tooling around so that everyone can have some business with everyone else.
Yeah.
They're like, before we get to any action, we want to make sure that all the characters talk to the other characters so you can know how everyone responds.
If you were curious about the unique perspective of what would happen if Geordi LaForge spent half a chapter talking to Nightcrawler about fuck all, well, here it is.
Yeah. You ever wonder why Guinan and Wolverine have never spoken before? Well, here it is.
And there are still pairings that we haven't seen. For example, Shadowcat's done nothing since she got on the ship.
Yeah, neither is Colossus, yeah, honestly.
Shadowcat and Colossus are basically missing at the moment.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that they're just kind of like, oh, we're waiting for something to happen? Well, I'm nice, and I'll sit in my room and not be a huge asshole and run around the ship.
Well, maybe we've just run out of relevant officers. I mean, probably there's a Riker conversation that we haven't seen yet.
I was going to say, the problem is, this is an original series, so you don't have Chekhov to talk to Colossus.
It's true. You don't have any good Russians on the ship.
Yeah.
But oh no, Worf's the closest, isn't he? He was
raised by Russians.
Yeah, he's from Minsk. where's that conversation? Oh wait, it wouldn't happen. Why would Worf talk to Colossus? Never mind, we're fine. Everything's fine. Yep.
Anyway, there you go.
I think we established in a previous episode that the scary thing is that the leftovers of people we haven't seen yet is Riker and Shadowcat.
Uh oh. Please don't.
Uh oh. Have you heard of a planet called Ryza?
And just walk backwards through a wall.
Just Homer Simpson into a wall.
Yep.
I'll get her later.
So, hey. Did you know that we do bonus content?
Oh, do we do bonus content?
Of course
you do. Oh, well, you're not talking to me, are you? You're talking to the listeners.
Listeners, did you know that we do rad bonus content?
I did. Oh, shoot. Hang on. You even said listeners that time.
I did.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I forgot your middle name is Listeners. Jeff Listeners, we've
established, and it's that James is my middle name.
Jeff James Listeners D'Amato. We go in to, nowadays, Memory Alpha, the Marvel database, anything we can do to find information on either Star Trek or X-Men related stuff. Mm-hmm. We're going to take some topics somewhat related to what we're doing here, and we're going to bring them to you. We're going to go a little in depth into some of the random little bits.
Yeah, we go a little deeper, a little harder.
We go a little better,
mm-hmm.
a little faster, a little stronger. Harder,
a little stronger. And then Aerodynamics starts. It's a good album. You should check it out.
Check it out.
Okay, so To find that bonus content, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/systemmastery and support us at the $2 or higher level.
Yes,
you'll
indeed.
Unlock, on average, 4 bonus episodes of Star Wars content a week. We're never not talking Star Wars and X-Men and X-Wing.
Yeah,
and
there's a mic on me at all times recording everything I say, mm-hmm. and I am legally obligated to mention Star Wars or X-Men or Star Trek at some point every hour.
Yep, I'm not allowed not to. All of my t-shirts have an X-Man on them, even the ones that didn't in the first place.
Now they do.
Mm-hmm. They sure do. And it's always the worst X-Men, too. Nothing but like Maggot and Adam X. Okay, so to get that, once again, go to patreon.com/systemmastery, or why not buy our book?
Why not? While you're at systemmasterypodcast.com, you can find all of our wonderful reviews. You can find our written and podcast stuff, and you can find a link to buy our book.
Our book is called A Dragon Walks Into a Bar. No further questions. You can buy it at the link that's on our website or on Amazon. We get a cut. We get a kickback because, you know, we're like the authors of it and stuff.
Because we wrote it.
So we get
a kickback.
Well, at the moment, we're still miles away from paying off the advance. So please save our lives and buy this book. They'll break our thumbs.
Ooh.
So thank you so much. You can find us and ways to support us at systemmasterypodcast.com. Otherwise, you'll see us in just a few minutes for some bonus content, and again in about a week for yet more Expounded Universe.
I'm the best there is at what I do.
And what I do is have a headache so bad I can't podcast anymore.